As students say goodbye to summer break and hello to a new school year in Ohio, many of their teachers face a new challenge too. This marks the first year the state's school districts are required to use an approach called the Science of Reading. The requirement was included in last year's state budget, and the move faced some opposition from some educators. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. What are the implications of the Science of Reading for the new school year for students and their teachers? Joining me now to talk about that are Fordham Institute Ohio Research Director Aaron Churchill. Welcome, Aaron.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me, Lucy.
Great to have you. And Sycamore Community Schools Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Rebecca Tompkins. Thanks for being here, Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Lucy. So glad to be here.
Oh my gosh, it's a pleasure. Aaron, we often hear about phonics with the Science of Reading, but it's much more than phonics. Explain what the Science of Reading is and how it's different from other approaches to teaching reading.
Yeah. The Science of Reading is a term, it's sort of a blanket umbrella term that encompasses phonics, as you mentioned, which is the practice of teaching children letter sound relationships so they can recognize words on the pages. It's basically very foundational for reading. You have to be able to sound out the word in order to start reading the letters on the page. So phonics generally happens in starting in preschool, going into second and third grade. And then the other key elements, the Science of Reading, deal with reading comprehension. And so this is sort of starting to help children make sense of the text on the page. What the Science of Reading emphasizes very strongly is content knowledge and vocabulary. So it's one thing to be able to recognize words on the page. It's another thing to, you know, make the connection between the words and what the author is trying to get is trying to communicate through the writing. So those are the two main sort of ideas in the Science of Reading. One is phonics. Two is reading comprehension based on strong literacy and vocabulary and content-rich content.
And Aaron, 40% of Ohio third graders do not read proficiently based on state test scores. Is that the impetus for this change? Is that why, I know the governor pushed very hard for this, is that why the state went to the Science of Reading?
That is some of it. You are correct that it's somewhere just shy of 40% of Ohio third graders fall short of proficiency on their state reading exams. That's a serious problem that the state should take seriously. When students can't read early in their journey in K-12, it has some significant implications further down the road. They can't, you know, graduate on time, or they get, you know, they struggle in the upper grades. That is a significant challenge that the legislature and Governor DeWine wanted to tackle. We know from the evidence over the years that the best way and most effective way to educate children in reading is through the science, is by an emphasis on phonics in the early grades and strong content knowledge moving into the upper grades. So we're hopeful that this can move the needle on achievement when we start moving to effective instruction based on the Science of Reading. It's important to note that this isn't sort of a new thing. The Science of Reading as a terminology might be new to people, but you know, phonics instruction is very traditional in the way schools have taught children to read over the years. Some schools have moved off of phonics, and this was largely designed to be a course correction to move back to the ways that have been proven to educate children well over the years.
Rebecca, Aaron just mentioned this. There is a lot of research that supports the Science of Reading as the most effective way to teach children how to read, but it's not the approach many teachers learned when they were learning how to teach kids to read. How did Sycamore's teachers react to this change? What was their first thought about all this?
Yeah, so the Science of Reading has, as Aaron indicated, been around for 50 years or more. So it is definitely found and set science. However, our higher institutions for education really had kind of veered away. And we went through within our reading instruction whole language and then balanced literacy. What we found with both of those approaches is they weren't as effective in teaching all students how to read and write. So what we we have within our educational, our teachers, is a lot of background within whole language and or balanced literacy. So, you know, really being able to surround our teachers with some support, with professional learning, with high quality instructional materials, because our educators work very hard and teaching is very, very personal to them. They want to do the very best for their students. So, you know, really being able to say, yes, let's take a look at what the science is telling us and the research and be able to implement that within the classroom.
And Rebecca, could you explain briefly what whole language and balanced literacy is? Is that this kind of 3Q-ing that we've been hearing about during this debate?
It is. So whole language really focused on the idea of students memorizing whole words. So that idea of, which is counter to phonemic awareness and phonics and all of those word recognition pieces. So the issue with that is students can't memorize all of the words in the English language. They have to be able to match the sounds with the letters in the word part. So whole language wasn't as effective for all of our students in reading and writing. Balanced literacy really was that next step to say, and the cueing piece, that there are some phonics pieces and some whole language pieces. But again, this, you know, a little bit of dabbling here and a little bit of dabbling there wasn't as effective for our students. So really leaning into what is the science sharing with us about how students learn to read and write.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the science of reading and how Ohio school districts have been preparing to use the approach this school year. Do you have questions or comments about the science of reading? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Rebecca, we talked before the program. You said your district has been working on this transition for a little while. It's not brand new this school year, thank goodness. Talk to us about that journey your schools and teachers have been on.
Yeah, so we are beginning our third year of really wrapping our arms around the science of reading, the implementation. So we have spent some time identifying our assessments. So how do we know what the entry point is with our students with their essential reading skills and being able to use that assessment data to help guide our instruction. Lots of opportunities for professional learning, for collaboration among our teachers, within our administrators. Our district has been just so tremendous in supporting at all levels, from district office to building administrators to teachers. And our next step of our journey is identifying our high quality instructional materials. So how can we support our teachers with the instructional implications by selecting resources that help teachers really implement that word recognition piece, that phonemic awareness and phonics, and then that language comprehension piece in the classroom. So year three, and it's been a great journey.
Oh. Erin, state lawmakers passed this requirement as part of the two-year state budget. How many Ohio school districts and charter schools were already using this approach, and how many needed to make big changes to get aligned with the law? It sounds like Sycamore is one of the ones that had already started, but there were a lot out there that hadn't, weren't there?
That's correct. So you are correct that many schools across the state have been using scientifically based reading practices for many years. But that is according to some survey results that the State Department of Education did last year, was a minority. When they fielded a survey that asked all the schools in Ohio to basically say, what kind of curriculum are you using in reading, especially in grades K to five? They found that about 40% of schools had a curriculum already that was aligned to the science of reading, that emphasizes phonics, that emphasizes language comprehension. About 40% of Ohio schools had a partially aligned curriculum. So they might have had a program that dealt with some of the phonemic awareness or one element of the science of reading. And then another, the rest of the schools in the state had a curriculum that was not aligned, so it might have been emphasizing the whole language or balanced literacy. These programs have been used in Ohio schools for many, in a number of Ohio schools for many years. So you have kind of a three-way split between schools that have been using science reading, schools that have been partially aligned to the science reading, and schools that have not been aligned to the science reading. So I think what we'll see in the next year, where the requirement starts to kick in formally, is that around a majority of schools, elementary schools in the state, will be making some significant changes in curriculum and instruction to align with the new standards and the new expectations for schools that the state is putting out there on the science reading.
Rebecca, you mentioned that a lot of colleges and universities that train teachers had been in recent, more recent years using this whole language approach, this balanced literacy approach. So that's a big change for teachers who were trained in something, who are in the job, I've got to believe, because they want to help kids and they believe in children, they love children. And then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but to be told, hey, you need to change this because it's not helping children as much. What did you hear from teachers about that big shift?
Yeah, so that was quite a shift. And there, because our teachers wanted to do so well with our students, that that hurt a little bit, right? Investing a lot of time and passion into what our teachers are doing for our students, and then to have this research that comes out that is counter to those instructional practices in which teachers have invested so much time. So that really took that gentle approach, and over time, to help our teachers really see the research, the why behind it, and also to begin implementing. Because what we know is once students or our teachers understood and started implementing some of the science of reading principles, they saw the outcomes in the students. And seeing those outcomes in the students is so reinforcing to say, yes, this is making a difference in the lives of our students. Let's continue to invest in these instructional practices.
Sure. Once they could see it was, yes, hey, this is working, it
absolutely
made them think, okay, I need to make this change.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll discuss how to stay safe in the sweltering heat. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the science of reading, an instructional approach that Ohio school districts are required to use starting this year. My guests are Fordham Institute Ohio Research Director Aaron Churchill and Sycamore Community Schools Director of Curriculum and Instruction Rebecca Tompkins. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Aaron, before the break, we were talking about how it was the state budget that made this change, that required this change for school districts. The budget also included funding to help schools make the change. How much was allocated, and what's it being used for?
It did. So the legislature last year, in addition to passing a requirement that schools adopt this type of practice, put forward $169 million in state funding to help support the transition. Most of the dollars, about a little over $80 million of those dollars, are meant to support professional development to help teachers, basically retrain teachers who have been using balanced literacy or 3Q-ing in the past, and help retrain them and orient them back toward the science of reading. So about $80 million, again, for professional development, and the dollars will go out as stipends for the teachers who complete a state-required course. The second part of the allocation deals with high-quality instructional materials. This is dollars that support schools that need to purchase new materials or new curriculum and textbooks that align with the science of reading. So when I talked about the three-way split of districts, there were districts that were using curriculum and textbooks that are not aligned to the science of reading. They need to purchase new materials. And so those dollars support that. And then the last bit is to support some literacy coaches, which are being deployed into some of the lowest achieving schools across the state. So those literacy coaches are supposed to give more hands-on training for the teachers. And then there's a final bit of some money that helps them, basically helps the higher Department of Higher Education do audits of teacher preparation programs. So we heard a little bit earlier about how teacher prep programs have moved away off science reading, and they're supposed to actually align their instruction for prospective teachers to the science as well. And these audits are supposed to make sure that that is happening. So that's where the dollars are going for the Science of Reading Initiative.
Rebecca, what is that funding meant for Sycamore schools?
Yeah, so it's been very much appreciated because this is a significant change. If you think about the legislative requirements, it requires that high-quality instructional materials are implemented in every kindergarten through fifth grade classroom, and that's significant. That is a wide range of materials, and House Bill 33 also included intervention materials for kindergarten through 12th grade. So knowing that this is a heavy lift for districts, the state funding helps supplement those purchases of the materials.
Mm-hmm. We got an email from Debbie. Debbie writes, how does the American approach to teaching reading compare with the methods used in other industrialized countries? Why did we ever abandon the phonetic approach we learned in the 1950s that worked? Rebecca, do you have thoughts on that? I don't know, you know, if you've thought about kind of the history of this, how we compare to other places.
Yes. So interestingly enough, you know, the science of reading is definitely research-based across, and it's been proven across all languages globally, you know, replicated in research studies. So the science of reading is not just an American approach. It certainly is. It's brain research. So it's across all human beings and how the brain learns to read. So interestingly enough, the United States has been lagging a little bit behind. We've done book studies in our district of books that from the UK who have implemented the science of reading. So we don't know exactly how we moved away from, but very glad to really be thinking thoughtfully about how we can help our students acquire literacy, because literacy is what empowers our students as they move from us into become citizens.
Sure, it's the foundation
it
for everything.
It absolutely is, yes.
Erin, do you have thoughts about why the U.S. kind of moved away from that phonetic approach? I mean, that's how I was taught to read, and I mean, I'm obviously much older than the kids in school now, but why did we move away from that?
I don't know why. I mean, again, I think some of the ideas of balanced literacy and whole language came through the universities and through some scholarship from scholars that, you know, sought a different approach. I mean, that's always kind of what academics are looking for, to sort of push the envelope on different types of ways of teaching kids or educating children or structuring school systems. But, you know, unfortunately, it proved to be less effective than the traditional methods. The UK is one example of a country that did move, another English-speaking country that has moved to phonics a little quicker than the US, or moved back to phonics, I should say, than the US. And there's some research out there that shows that did improve reading achievement in the UK. So, you know, hopefully we can follow, you know, what our friends across the pond have done and implement this well, and ultimately benefit students, because that's the goal.
Yeah. Rebecca, you mentioned that Sycamore's already seen results. You're early in this implementation. It's taken some training to get there, but already teachers are seeing improvement. Walk us through a little bit of the training that your district offered for teachers. What did that look like to help them, you know, learn more about this approach and start to teach that way?
Absolutely. So we began with conversations with our teachers, offering a variety of book studies, of being able to bring teachers together to collaborate, to do some reading on research articles. Certainly taking a look at we identified an assessment that would help us know our students as far as their essential reading skills, and being able to share with our teachers, what does that data telling us, and how might we react instructionally to be able to support our students? We've spent some time, a great deal of time last year, with that language comprehension side of science of reading and building background knowledge and how important that is for our students, and really identifying a curriculum that we'll be implementing this year that builds background knowledge in science and social studies for our students. You know, in our district, we have our motto is all means all. So we want to be able to provide great literacy instruction for all of our students, because we want to be inclusive of everyone. So that wraparound support of professional learning, we will be working with some job-embedded instructional coaches this year. So knowing that professional learning occurs during professional learning days, in between professional learning days, and in the classroom, and however we can support our teachers or administrators, we want to be able to do that for them.
Hmm. Erin, how quickly could schools across the state who aren't maybe as far along as Sycamore is, how quickly could they see improvements with this change?
Well, I think, you know, as we've kind of talked a little bit about earlier, this is a heavy lift for schools. It will take some time for teachers to reorient and retrain themselves in science reading and put those practices effectively into the classroom. Hopefully, we'll see results sooner than later because, students need to learn. It is urgent that students, especially non-proficient students, make the gains they need to make to become proficient in reading. So hopefully there's an urgency, but also a sense of patience in terms of implementing this new approach. It's important for communities and parents to be involved, I think, in this effort. They can embrace the science of reading when you hear that term, appreciate the importance of it and really put their efforts and support behind the science of reading too. This is something that the schools will need to lead, but the communities and parents can be engaged in this heavily as well.
Rebecca, I've got to imagine that it's not a simple thing to unlearn the way you've learned to teach a child to read. I mean, it's got to be pretty complicated to teach a little bitty kid how to read.
It certainly is. It is brain research, and there's a paper out that teaching reading really is rocket science. So and that really is the case. That's where, as Aaron pointed out, there's a sense of urgency, and there's also this idea of some patience along the way as we learn and identify materials and resources and implement. And we are seeing results after just a year or so, and we are excited to see where those results are going to take our students over the course of the next several years.
We got an email from Marianne Martina. She writes, "I'm loving this segment of today's program. As I read about the components of the science of reading approach, I recognized this is a formalized approach to the way I learned to read. My parents read to me daily, my mother mostly poetry, and my father stories, books, and long narrative poems. They read with the book open in front of me, and I saw the text while I listened. I had a public library card when I was 4 years old and had to show the librarian that I could read. I welcome this new requirement in Ohio education." Oh, what a terrific endorsement.
I love that. And what I love about that is one of the basis of the science of reading is acquisition of oral language. So what parents can do at home is support their children through reading rich, complex texts so that students gain that vocabulary, so that when they're able, when they see that word on the printed page, that they're able to deconstruct the word into pieces and then know what that definition is in their head. That's beautiful.
Aaron, this is a change that schools and school districts, many of them, are being asked to make pretty quickly. What do you think the Ohio Department of Education and Workforce has done well when it comes to implementing this requirement? Is there any place they can improve going forward?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, number one, it's important to know that our State Department of Education is taking these reforms, in my view, seriously, and that they're providing the leadership and hopefully being out there and saying that this is a positive change for our classrooms and for our students, and we need to get it right. We need to do implementation right. We need to make sure that the teachers have great materials in their hands and that they have the professional development they need. One thing the Department of Education has done in the last 6 months is create a list of high quality core curricula and reading intervention curricula that schools can choose from. It's important to know that when we talk about the science of reading, we're not just saying you have to use such and such curriculum. There's actually a wide variety of curricula that the department has approved, 15 core curricula, and I think somewhere between like 50 and 60 reading interventions. Of course, the interventions go through K-12, but that has been a step forward in trying to identify high quality curricula that schools will use moving forward.
Aaron, do you think the state's going to need to allocate more money in the budget for this in the coming years?
We'll see about that, where the legislature goes in the next budget cycle. I think there will certainly need to be continuing efforts to support the teachers out and the educational leaders out in the field, whether that's, more curriculum-specific professional development, whether that is grant programs that encourage collaborative models between teachers and principals to implement the programs, whether that's, some additional dollars for instructional materials as well. But it's definitely a conversation I think should continue at the State House.
Rebecca, what's your advice to parents who are noticing these new approaches and really want to help with their children? What can they do to help reinforce this, to help their children learn to read?
The greatest thing that parents can do is to read aloud to their children, rich, complex texts. Again, so children gain their background knowledge and also are exposed to rich vocabulary. And then have conversations. Reading is based on conversation. That's how the brain learns to read, is it starts with language acquisition. So the more conversations that parents can have with their children, utilizing that vocabulary, that is of benefit as students start to take that oral language and encode it through writing and then decode it through the reading.
Well, I have been talking with Fordham Institute Ohio Research Director Erin Churchill and Sycamore Community Schools Director of Curriculum and Instruction Rebecca Tompkins. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, this summer has been hot and heat-related illnesses are on the rise across the U.S. We'll hear how to stay safe. This is Cincinnati Edition.